What's in a promise? We make a lot of promises, and many of them we keep, and some of them we do not. At a wedding, two people come together and promise to love each other, to care for and be faithful to one another. At a baptism, a family promises to raise their child in the Lord, and the congregation promises to support them. In a toy store, fun and enjoyment for kids of all ages is promised. At a restaurant, service is promised. In an election, stability is promised. And on these things go. Obviously, certain promises hold more weight. Important life-changing promises versus smaller ones. There is the difference between also a long-term promise and short-term ones. Some promises are easy to keep and some are hard. And they push us and stretch us to grow, to be truthful and honest with how we match our words with our deeds. Today, as we open God's word to the Song of Simeon, we notice that God has made a promise to his faithful servant, that he would see Israel's Messiah before his death. This is a big promise. A promise from God to Simeon. But as we continue looking at this song, we will learn that God has made and fulfilled three promises with the arrival of Christ, at least highlighted those three in this song. The first one to Simeon, and then one to the nation of Israel, and one to us here today. As we begin, I have it in mind to wonder, who is Simeon anyway? Well, the truth is that we do not know too much about him other than what we read today, that he was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was working in him. Along with those things, we know that Simeon is an old man and has drunk deeply from the prophet Isaiah. And the song he sings radiates the hope of salvation from that prophet. And on this particular day, so moved by the Spirit, Simeon made his way to the temple, where he sees Mary and Joseph and the child. And in his wrinkly old arms, he takes this brand new baby and he sings, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." This is a beautiful declaration of a promise fulfilled, a promise that God made with a devout servant who has lived his whole life for the Messiah, even before the Messiah was born. He finally has this child in his arms, by the power of the Holy Spirit, understanding that this squirming little bundle is to be Israel's hope, what they were waiting for, the one that he was waiting for. Simeon, who only shows up in this tiny section of the entire Bible, was brought by the Spirit to see the Messiah. With the great promise fulfilled, Simeon leaves full. He is filled with the Spirit and is content. His calling in life completed to the point where he is now content to die. That the Lord could dismiss him in peace, for his eyes have now seen the salvation of the world. What a thing! What a promise and fulfillment! And the outcome for Simeon is contentment, his calling by the Holy Spirit fulfilled. God was paying attention to him. And his face turned towards Simeon in his calling. God promised, God delivered. And his face turned towards Simeon as if to say, thank you for your obedience and for following my Spirit's leading. And the great thing is that each of us also have a calling from the Holy Spirit. We each have been given gifts and abilities and a purpose in the story of Christianity. It may not always feel significant, but for someone, you may be a Simeon moment, walking into someone's life, being a blessing, a reassurance of God's work, an encouragement, and then you are never heard again in their story. We can do this faithfully as Simeon did, faithfully responding to the Holy Spirit, listening, watching, waiting for the time to share our faith, our resources, our time. And this faithful following comes from God and the Holy Spirit, because God is at work in your life, and he was in, as he was in Simeon. We can see the Messiah too, like he did. We are looking forward to his coming this Christmas season. Does it feel like God is turning his face toward you? Because he is. And he has made a promise with us, and that promise came through his people, Israel. It helps us to know how to live when we see Simeon live every moment for Christ. Knowing that he was to see Jesus before he died, he lived a devout and dedicated life. But the Messiah's coming is not only a promise fulfilled to Simeon. It was a huge moment for the people of Israel. There is also a promise to Israel being fulfilled. Simeon gives us a good idea of what that promise is in his song. That glory was coming to the people of Israel as a king, the Messiah. Through this promised Messiah, though this promised Messiah was not quite the king that the Jews thought he would be. Here are Simeon's lyrics. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. This glory for the people of Israel is a promise of the coming Messiah, a promise that was made to King David so long ago in 2 Samuel 7, that someone of David's line would be on the throne forever. The glory of the people of Israel had come. And this child in Simeon's arms was the king. Indeed, he is the king. The God, and God fulfilled his promise to his people. Though the people of Israel, especially the influential religious leaders, they did not like Jesus. They did not think of him as a king. Though Jesus' troubles with being called a king start even before he was 2 years old. The king at the time of his birth was afraid of this child born a king. Indeed, King Herod went so far as to try and kill Jesus, because he thought that Jesus' kingdom was of this world, just as the religious leaders thought. But Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And that is the curious thing about this second promise being fulfilled. Compared to the promise made to Simeon, who came away feeling content because he saw Jesus, the Israelites rejected him. He was too radical, too different, and he pushed back on the religious leaders. He didn't follow the oral tradition of over 600 rules that were regulated by the religious elite. The Israelites had a different idea of who the Messiah would be to them. And I think we can relate to these people. I'm thinking about promises and then the expectation of these promises. A young couple gets married and they promise to love each other. But they find that they hurt one another just as much as they love one another. The expectations and realities of the marriage promise was different than the romanticized perfect marriage. Or the expectation of having a child baptized and raised in the church. Even though they are baptized, sadly, many walk away. Or even if they don't, then they miss expectations that their parents have for them on how to be a good Christian. A little lighter note, in a toy store, the fun and enjoyment promised to kids of all ages is marred by the expectations of lasting joy, where kids grow up and toys break. At that restaurant, service is promised, but depending on the expectations of the patrons, the same service may be excellent or terrible. And I'll let your imagination take over as I say that elections come with all kinds of different expectations of different people. All of this to illustrate that the human response to promises makes a big difference. It is easy for us to see why the promise of the Messiah had different expectations compared to the reality of Jesus and his ministry. I sympathize with Israel in this. Often, you and me, we think that we would have had seen Jesus as the King of Heaven if we were back in Bible times. But I believe that I would have missed it. I would have had the expectation that Jesus, a Messiah, a king, was coming to defeat the Roman oppression. It just seems like a good expectation of an oppressed people. Though, in hindsight now, 2,000 years later, we know that God took the people of Israel, his chosen people, and gave them a king to sit on the throne of heaven instead of the throne of Israel. That was the covenant promise fulfilled for the glory of Israel. God kept his promises. Promised that the Lord of all the earth was their king. But they didn't see it. And they crucified him. We too need to wonder about the expectations that we have put on religious practices and, in particular, our flavor of Christianity. We here in the Christian Reformed Church have many positive points about theology, right living, and right thinking. But we are far from perfect. And I think it's healthy for us to realize this. To realize that God can be followed by other people who are not reformed. We here in this church have blind spots. We tend to emphasize right thinking, that if we have the right theology, then we will be saved. But that creates a blind spot in terms of connecting right thinking into right actions, connecting the head and the heart to the hands. I know in my time at seminary, we had a lot of our theology and biblical teaching was aimed at our head, and it took work for us to get that knowledge from our head to really touch our hearts. And it was work again to get that work from our hearts into our actions. Overall, we know that Jesus came to change hearts and lives. There is a question that each of us need to ask. Is our life being changed by the promise of a coming Savior? We need to check our expectations and realize it is God's will that is in control. And that, my friends, is good news. For if God wasn't in control, we truly would be lost. But God made a promise to us as well. Because even despite our different expectations of different promises in life, or promises that God has given to us, God uses the outcome for His good. For God's purposes are higher than our purposes, and He has made a promise to us as well. That promise shows up in Simeon's song too. We already read the words, but I will say them again. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Here is the promise to us today that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This is probably the most controversial part of Simeon's song for the Israelites, because it opens up the way of salvation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were on the outside, unclean, and now they were invited in? Is Simeon really saying that with Jesus, salvation is revealed for all people? The answer is yes. This is the groundbreaking promise that Jesus means for us. That we, that you and me, that we can be in a relationship with the Father. And that started with the inclusion of the Gentiles. You can read all about it in Paul's letters. The Gentiles were seen by the Israelites as dirty, outsiders, who had no business with Jewish laws. They weren't circumcised, they ate unclean food, and did not participate in Sabbath. They were the least likely, in the eyes of the Israelites, to receive a promise from the Messiah. But the Lord turned His face toward all people. It was God's eyes looking, not the Israelites' eyes. This inclusion of the Gentiles, this inclusion of us, is only possible because of the grace of God and the work of Jesus to include the outsider. We need to realize that we are still as unworthy as the Gentiles seemed to the Israelites. But God chose a people, the Israelites, to bring salvation to the world, and through them the whole earth would be blessed. And that blessing came as a baby, born to Mary and Joseph. It's amazing grace. The Lord turn His face toward you. He sees you. He knows all about you, your inmost being, your likes, dislikes, your thoughts, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams. He knows them all. He has looked you in the eye and said, I have made you and you are mine. And even knowing all the bad in us, He loves us. God, this infinite being, decided that for you, for the sinful human race, that He would send part of Himself, His Son, down to earth. so that sins can be forgiven, so that lives can be changed. He did it. He turned his face toward you and said, you, and you, and you, and you, I will die for you. I see the value that you have in this world, and I want you to know me, because I have loved you from the moment you were in your mother's womb. This is the God we serve. That is the God that sent Jesus. A God that sees you. He turns his face towards us. It is the most awesome, though somewhat scary, but oh so reassuring gesture and promise that we have received from the Creator of the universe. So we go out of that grace and we live a faithful life, devout like Simeon, as our response to God knowing us, loving us, and looking upon us. Jesus promised salvation to those who would believe. What are you waiting for? Reach out, touch, hold, believe in the Holy Spirit. Believe that the Holy Spirit will guide you on the right path for his name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we come longing to see you and to be seen by you, longing to know you more. Move in our hearts because you know us and have promised to be our God. As we look forward to the celebration of Jesus' birth in just a few short days, may we remember how you revealed your salvation work to the entire world, to Jew and Gentile alike. Continue, we pray, to turn your face towards us. Show us grace, mercy, and love, so that our lives may be a light to others who may need us. We pray this in the name of the Most High God. Amen.